Pastor, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and testify about what the Lord has done, and not only what He's done, but what He's going to do today, what He's going to do tomorrow, and what He's going to continue to do. You know, it's been 5 weeks ago, I was standing right back there. Sister Carmen was with me back there, and I told her, very soon, I'm going to be up here testifying about my healing. Amen. And then she told me, before that, that she was driving to Cleburne. And she said, the Lord's not through with you yet. Amen. Isn't that great to know that God is not through with any of us? You know, and I have an apology to make because actually, when I was growing up, I stuttered a lot. And my sister reminded me one time after I spoke at my brother's funeral, she said, you know, when you get up there and you talk about the Lord, you don't stutter. I said, no, I didn't notice that. It just reminds me of a story about a Bible salesman that he stuttered a lot. But he went door to door, and that day in and day out, he beat everybody. And then they asked him, he says, how in the world do you do that? Because they wanted to be a successful company. And he said, his name was Bill. Bill said, well, I go to the door, and I knock. And I ask them if they want to buy a Bible or if they want me to read it to them. So, and that's how he was the best salesman that there ever was. So, it's not bad to have a speech impediment. And I know my brothers and sisters, my siblings are watching, and thank you for your support, but mostly I want to thank the whole church body for their support. I mean, it was massive. Our support system is out of this world. You know, so many of you brought us food to eat, and we had more than we needed, and we thank you for your support. We thank you for your love. You know, what a loving church, and through all this, what the devil meant for bad, God turned it into good. Amen? In John 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your blessings, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about you, what you can do, what you have done, and what you will do. Father God, let every word that proceeds out of my mouth be anointed by the Holy Spirit. God, because you said in your word that your word will not return void, and it will accomplish what you set it out to do, Lord. And just be with me tonight, Lord, and we honor you and give you honor and glory and praise. Amen. Amen. You know, God has had his hand on my life for, of course, all my life. But the first incident that I remember that God has his hand upon me was when I was 5 years old, and I got a brother 2 years older than me, Joe, and we lived out in the farm. We were sharecroppers, and my dad was pulling a leveler with his tractor, and the back of it had a big blade about 10 feet wide and about 2 feet deep, and we decided we'd get on the back of that thing. So we got on the back of it, and we rode around. I got tired. I told my brother, I said, I'm going to sit down. He said, no, Jimmy, don't sit down. It was too late. All I can remember is my feet going under that thing, and I went into the ground, and it buried me. My brother hollered at my dad, and my mom came out screaming and praying, and dad uncovered me, he picked me up, and they rushed me to the hospital in Haskell, Texas. It was 20 miles from our farm. And I don't remember much other than standing up. And then the next thing I remember was walking out of the hospital. Not a broken bone, not a scrape, not a bruise. All I got was a bloody nose. I guess my head was pretty hard. And I think that, I think God was just, there's a reason that he left me to live today. At the age of 8 years old, I was in the second grade. I started school when I was seven, so I was a year behind because of my birthday. But anyway, I was in the second grade, and we were out in the recess playing. And I was catching. I missed the ball. I ran back to get it, and I threw it back through the pitcher, and my arm snapped. It broke. And what happened then, they took me to the hospital, and the doctor there in that small hospital in Knox City, Texas, said he took an x-ray. It's broke, but there's something else going on. So they sent me to Wichita Falls to a surgeon, to a specialist. And he told my mom and dad, he says, I fear the worst. He has cancer, bone cancer, in his right arm. At 8 years old, you know, your arms aren't that big. And that thing was about that big. The cancer that had eaten the bone. And he said, I'm afraid we're going to have to amputate. And you know, and that my brothers and sisters will tell you, I'm a scaredy cat. When I was little, especially, I was scared of the dark, scared of being by myself. But that night, Mom and Dad said, we're going to your cousin's house. And my cousin was a pastor, and they went to pray. And there was a calmness in that room. I didn't cry. I didn't do anything. There was a calmness, and I could feel the presence of the Lord at 8 years old. And at the same time, that's when Dad and Mom and my cousin, Lewis, the pastor, were praying for me. That calmness was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that he came and he calmed me at 8 years old. The next morning, the surgeon says, I'm going to have to take another x-ray to see, you know, where we need to amputate the arm. And he took that x-ray, and the cancer had shrunk to this. He said, you know what I can do? He says, I can take a bone out of his hip and put it in his arm. And that's what they did. And that was 62 years ago. And in 1972, I had the privilege to try out with the Rangers and be able to throw a ball with this arm that they said they were going to amputate. Isn't God good? Amen. He is good. You know, and in 1984, I went to through a divorce, that's what it is, and I went in a downward spiral. Instead of running to God, I ran away from God. For 2.5 years I ran, and did, you know, I was mad at God, I was mad at everybody. But I had a praying dad, I had praying brothers and sisters, and I could never get away from it. And me and my friend of mine went to Jamaica to get away from troubles, I thought. You know, I guess I was going to get in deeper trouble there. But anyway, we went to this all-inclusive resort. And we were just having a good time doing what guys do anyway. And then I met this girl. I saw this girl. She was beautiful. You know, I can just imagine what, you know, when Adam saw Eve. You know, she was a woman. And when he saw her, and you know where woman came from? Adam said, whoa, man. You know, and that's the same thing I said when I saw Chris. I said, whoa, man, I got to talk to this girl. Long story short, that was the last week of July of 1986, and first week of October, that same year, probably 7 or 8 weeks, we were married. That's been 35 years ago. And God has blessed us. I could not have children. But see, this woman right here, she talked about having children, but the way she wanted to do it was foster kids and adopt them. Today, we have 4 children, 7 grandchildren, 1 on the way, and God has blessed us. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full. Amen? You know, I'll tell you what, God is just so good. You know, I fast forward to April 1993. I was out jogging, which I had done for the last 10 years. So, you know, and I felt tired. It had been a long day at work. I was the branch manager in Dallas for Oak Farms Dairy, and I felt unusually tired, so I usually ran 3 miles. So I said, I'm just going to run a mile and a half. So I did. When I got home, I felt an uneasiness in my chest, and I told my wife, I need a Rolaid or something. So long story short, a few minutes later, I was having a heart attack. My wife rushed me to the hospital. But you know what? God's hand was on me. You know, he let me live, and that's been since 1993, April of 1993, and my heart is as good as it's ever been, you know. Yes, praise God. 11 years later, I would have another battle with cancer besides my arm. It was in my left kidney, and it was God's miracle that allowed me or allowed the doctors to find it, because I had just gotten back from a business trip from Mexico, and I was feeling sick. I was had Montezuma's revenge or whatever it was, but I was sick, and went to emergency, and the doctor came in, and he started feeling around my stomach, and I went, ouch. And you know what? It really didn't hurt, but God knows why I went out. And he said, well, we need to do a CAT scan. So they did a CAT scan. He says, Mr. Alcala, I'm sorry, but you have a big cancerous mass on your left kidney. You need to go to the urologist. Went to the urologist, says, and he confirmed what they had told me there. So they took my left kidney out. So I didn't have to have chemo or radiation because it had been encapsulated in the kidney. Well, lo and behold, the urologist said, we'll have to keep an eye on this. Every year, we're going to do an x-ray. And everything was going fine. 2020 came. The pandemic came. Well, you know what? I didn't have one done. I didn't have an x-ray done. But I did this past February, and I pushed for it. And then the urologist said, I'm sorry, but we see something suspicious. He says, we need to send you to have a PET scan, to have a biopsy, and they did all that, you know. And even before that, I mean, back up to 2018, that was 3 years ago, they had to remove my prostate because of cancer. So that's my third battle. My fourth battle was after they took the kidney out, they, like I said, they were having to do x-rays every year. This past year, they found it. Anyway, we went to an oncologist. It came back, stage 4 lung cancer. And his words were, the only thing that we can do is give you chemotherapy and a chemo pill, and you might have 2 or 3 years. And, you know, and it just devastated me. And I remember Chris started crying. And he said, are you okay? Well, no, I'm not okay, you know. I'm not okay either. You know, I started thinking about, you know, what was going to happen. And the reason he felt like they couldn't do anything was because the cancer that was close to my heart was real close to the aorta. He said, it's inoperable. They can't do anything. I left there with a check in my spirit. I said, Lord, this can't be true. This can't be happening. And there was something. And I hadn't even thought about getting a second opinion. But I had people from the church, and I had people that I played golf with say, you know, you need to get a second opinion. And sure enough, I did. Praise God that he sent me to a doctor that was progressive and that wanted to help me, help us. So he sent me to a thoracic surgeon. And he said, oh, yeah, I can get that sucker out of there. I mean, he was almost cocky, but I like the guy, you know. He says, I can do it. He says, I can get it. You know, and after being told that you can't. But see, their report does not match up with God's report. God's report is that by his stripes we are healed. Amen? So, 5 weeks ago today, no, 4 weeks ago today, I was recovering from surgery, and they were able to get every bit of it. And it's gone. Give him a hand. Give God a hand. Hallelujah. You know, I will have to go back and have a PET scan because the doctors, they have to be sure. Well, I'm sure that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has taken it all out of there. Amen? See, God's word will save us. That's what I leaned on. Sister Carmen gave me about 197 scriptures to read, and I read those every day. Read those in the morning. I had another 40 that I read at night. I stood upon the word. I stood upon his promises. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Amen? Amen. Trash in, trash out. You put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. See, God's word doesn't fail. It cannot fail. Not one of all, in Joshua 21:45, he says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just thank him for it. You know, God's will is for each and one of us to be healed. And his healing is working in each and every one of us to do his will. Because we cannot live just for ourselves. We need to live for the Lord and love one another as God said. In Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." See, he's not through with me. I don't know what he's got for a 70-year-old man to do, but I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, we are to be about the Father's business, and that's what I want to do. The Spirit of life makes our life, our body alive. In Romans 8:11, it says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give you life, give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you." It's his Spirit. It's not my Spirit. It's his Spirit. Praise God. I'm just so thankful. See, God has is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing that anybody can do to us. They can physically, but spiritually they can't do anything. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen, which is so be it, he is spoken by us to the glory of God. We have to give him the honor and the glory, and he will accomplish what he set out to do." Also, not only did he heal, you know, he's talking about healing. God will heal you. His will is to heal you. In Matthew 8:2-3, it's a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing." And he said, "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Not only was he cleansed from his leprosy, his sins were forgiven. Amen. You know, because back then, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, leprosy was a sin type of disease, if I'm right. I don't know if I am or not, but it seems like I remember that. But, you know, we have to obey God's word in order to be healed. We can't do just whatever we want. We got to listen to God and be obedient to him. In Exodus 15:26, he said, "If you listen carefully to your Lord and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring in any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." You know, we need to read God's word. And the more we read it, the more we understand that God wants to heal us. God wants to save us. God is for us. He's not against us. He just wants to be for us. All we have to do is listen to him. You know, we need to serve the Lord, and healing will be yours. In Exodus 23:25, and I have a lot of scriptures. I'm not apologizing for it. You know, if you're not writing them down, you should be. But worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, and I will take away your sicknesses from among you. There are so many scriptures where he says, I will heal you, I will deliver you, I will set your path straight, I will do this, I will do that. And it's all conditional. We have to be obedient. We have to listen to what he says. Amen? See, there are many benefits that we have, you know, in God besides healing. In Psalm 103, 1 through 5, he says, praise the Lord, my soul. In all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here it comes. Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, heal. Who redeems your life from the pit. If you're down, he's going to pick you up, and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. Those are God's promises to us, to each and every one of us. God is the Word, and the Word is God. In Psalm 107:10, God's Word is healing. He sent out his Word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. See, he brought us up. He did that for Lazarus. He healed all those things. He's done all those things. But here's what we have to do. We have to choose to fight. You can lay down and let the devil run over you, or you can say, devil, you go to Hades. Amen? You take authority over those things. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, this day I call heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life, death, blessings, and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. It's not all about you. How about your children? How about your grandchildren? We have to make a choice to fight. I made a choice to fight. You know, and some people get healed and some don't. I don't understand that. I just lost a good friend of mine about 2 months ago that I worked with for 25 years, 60 years old. I don't understand it. But see, it's not for me to understand. It's just to know what I have to do. And what you have to do is believe in the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, and he will be with us. See, Isaiah 53:5, see, his death brought us healing. He says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, we might be, we could be, maybe tomorrow. No, it says here, this his word. It's not my word. It's God's word. We are healed. Amen. So we have to receive that. Receive that in the name of Jesus. See, God will restore our health. It's a promise that he has kept through the death on the cross, that he will restore your health. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. See, we have to take authority over our sickness. We have to speak to those things that are not as though they are. Because we know in whom we have believed and in whom we have our trust. Matthew 18, 18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, if he did not mean it, it wouldn't be in his word. So we have to stand in agreement with him. As believers, we have to conduct ourselves according to the scripture. See, God's will honor our prayers, so we take authority over it. In Matthew 18, 9, it says to agree with someone for healing, not just anyone. You know, I know in the men's group, we stand in agreement with each other. You have to agree on whatever you're praying for. You be in agreement. It says in Matthew 18, 19, again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. We got to stand in agreement. We got to stand upon his word and his promises. It's full of promises, of yeses and of amens and all the things that we need and a lot of things that we desire. See, in Mark 11, 22, 23, it says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they will say, it will be done for them. But it's not talking about an actual mountain. It's just a symbol. And that symbol is what hardship you are praying about. But you got to have faith. He says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you know, it can be a little thing. It could be a finance. It could be a relationship. It could be a sickness. It could be anything. But God can help you move mountains. But we have to believe in order to receive. There's no way that if we doubt, you know, it's not going to happen. And in order to believe, you have to have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to have that relationship. He has to know who you are, and you need to know who he is. Amen? In Mark 11, 24 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's his word. You know, I'm not making all this stuff up, I promise you. You know, it's in his word. And if it's written, it's yes, it's amen. You know, it talks about having someone lay hands on you. In Mark 16, 17 and 18 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. I hate snakes. With their hands. And if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Well, these are not actual reptiles. He's talking about demons. And he's talking about that we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities in high places. And that's who we fight against. I mean, if it was a snake that we were fighting against, you know, we could get either a gun or a hole or something and kill it. But it's not. It's not an actual reptile. It's a demon spirit. And God says that we can overcome those things. And we need to worship God. We know that God does not listen to sinners. That's John 9, 31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. We have to be in God's will in order for him to answer us. I mean, it's just as simple as that. See, and we have to believe that. And we cannot allow our faith to waver. We have to stand upon a word, upon his promise. In Hebrews 10, 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And God's promises are yes, they're amen. And we stand upon those things. And he's not a man that he should lie. And he won't take it back. See, our confidence is in God. That's who we have to rely on. You cannot rely on anybody. And I love my brothers and sisters, but we're my siblings, but we're all flawed, saved by grace. But God is not. He's perfect. And if we go to Him, He's going to answer. He's going to give us His yes. He's going to give us His amen. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. It will come to you." See, Jesus Christ has never changed. What He did in the Bible, He'll do today. He raised the dead people. He opened blind eyes. He had the paralytic walk. It says, whatever you ask, He will do, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to change for me. He's not going to change for you. He's going to be the same. See, we need to, you know, we have prayer time up here, and it's great. He says in James 5, 14 and 15, "Be anointed with oil by a Christian who believes in healing." See, there's a condition. You have to pray with somebody that believes. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church." And elders doesn't mean somebody's old like me, or it can be, we got some young people over here praying. "Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." And the prayer, not the oil, and the prayer offered in faith, we got to believe, will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. See, the oil is simply, again, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It has no power, but it's a point of contact. And what's going to make you well is your faith, the prayer in faith. Again, we got to be confident in our prayers. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I love reading all these verses. You know, it encourages me. It strengthens me. That God's word will strengthen us. And it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." See, God answers the prayers of those who keep His commandments. We got to love each other, you know, and we got to do what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. That is our confidence. We got to keep, keep His promises. And He says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him." We need to please God. We need to quit pleasing ourselves. We need to be after God's own heart. See, fear is when you get in situations like I did, and I know that Gary and Amanda went through that wreck. You know, fear can creep up on us, but we cannot allow that to happen. We have to rebuke it. We have to take authority over it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." What's that telling you? That all we have to do is trust the Lord with all our heart. You know, I know Satan comes in with crazy thoughts. I know it did for me. You know, I remember getting out of the car at Christina and Charlie's house after we had gotten the report. And I tried to hold it together, but I was thinking not about myself, but about my kids. And it was a tough time. And there were some thoughts that goes through our minds. You know, I'm human. But you know what? I didn't have a pity party for long. I had to get out on, on my knees. You know, Sister Carmen and Pastor came to our house shortly after we left there, and we were feeling down, but, you know, they helped us. They lifted us up. So we cast down those thoughts and imaginations that don't line up with the Word of God. Because you see, in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, it says that the weapons that we fight against are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets up itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Amen. Amen. And you know, in Ephesians 6, 10 and 13, it tells us how to fight. How to fight. You know, I was had a career too in martial arts, and we taught how to defend yourself. Well, that was against physical things, but this is against spiritual things. It's Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Be strong in the Lord, in the Lord's power. Put on his armor to fight for your healing. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. You know what the full armor of God is? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded about you, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and the sword. And the sword, which is the spirit, that it cuts all the way down to the marrow. And if you'll notice, all of them, except for the sword of the spirit, is a defensive move. The sword is an offensive move. We take the word. We go against Satan. He says, here. Here's God's word. You have to bow to it. It says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. And folks, we live in a dark world. We are in a fight. We're in a literal fight for our lives. They're trying to take our freedom away, but it's not going to happen. The authorities, against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, it says, people, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand some more. We have every weapon that we need to fight. Not only for yourself, but for your spouses, for your children, for your brothers in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, through our battle, my wife and I battling, our kids, your support, your prayers, your steadfastness, and in the Lord, sustain us. So if you get in those situations, run to God, not away from God. Thank you.